Tobin and Leroy here with you. 560 WQAM. Welcome on back, streaming live on YouTube and Twitch. Having some fun here on a Monday, and now the fun ends. Because Kevin Durant, once again, slips right out of the fingers of Pat Riley as he steps up. He goes, all right, we're in the trade negotiations for Kevin Durant. How about I offer a bag of donuts and see if that actually gets us a call back? It did not. The reported offer that the Miami Heat gave stunk, as was reported last week by that Gambo, who's taking a very weird victory lap over the Miami Heat. It's a very strange thing. Kevin Durant ends up going to the Houston Rockets for Jalen Green, Dylan Brooks, the number 10 overall pick, and 5 second round picks. The Miami Heat, according to reports from Barry Jackson and Anthony Chang, they say, according to a source of direct knowledge, the Heat not only declined to offer center Khalil Ware, but also did not offer forward Nikola Jovic in the final discussions. I'll get to you in a second, Leroy. The teams before the Suns shipped Durant to Houston. Also, the source said the Miami Heat were never willing to offer more than one first-round pick. Reportedly, what Anthony and Barry Jackson say the Heat offered was Andrew Wiggins, Terry Rozier, pick number 20 in Wednesday's draft, and two bench players, which are believed to be Jaime Hawkins Jr. and Haywood Highsmith. Which, got to be honest with you, if you did offer me that for Kevin Durant, I think I'm taking the phone with me while I take a poop in the bathroom, because that offer stinks. So KD ends up in Houston. No Kevin Durant once again on the Miami Heat. And everybody's here left wondering, Leroy, where the hell do the Heat go from here?
I'm a little torn by this, because the Heat had to know that was a BS offer. Okay,
let's had to. That offer stinks.
And here's what I think gets lost in all of this. When teams are offering up these players, okay, so we've had a few situations here. And you have three or four teams that are vying for that player services. I don't understand why the Miami Heat always offer like you're the only team negotiating. And that's what that sounded like. Like you're going to go back and forth.
Well, and
the way it works now is you have preliminary discussions.
Yep.
You have three or four teams that come to the table with something. And now these teams only negotiate with the team that had the original best first offer.
For me, it's just such a lack of, if you're really serious about Kevin Durant, which clearly they weren't, but
right.
If you know that the team you're competing with is the Rockets, and at bare minimum, if we're just going, okay, you don't want to go draft for draft, the baseline offer is top 10 pick, top 20 pick. Like, you got to make up some ground somewhere, and it can't be for four guys you don't want. Because
right.
Other than Haywood Highsmith, literally probably not a guy on there that he really want back next year. Maybe Wiggins. Maybe. But I'm sure they're not at the highest level of Andrew Wiggins that they were when they traded for him from Golden State. So right. You're essentially saying, like, take a guy we just got as the salary filler for Jimmy Butler, a dude who's an absolute zero on our team in Terry Rozier, and Jaime Jaquez Jr., reportedly, who his value's never been lower. And right. And pick 20. That's it. So, like, you're essentially flipping the Jimmy Butler package. And also take Terry Rozier and Jaime Jaquez Jr., who we only play against the Wizards. Like, I'm just, And yes, there is a part of me that's torn too, Leroy, because I love Kalel Ware and I love Nikola Jovic. I really do. I think, you know, that right. those guys playing together was probably some of the more fun basketball in a really, really unfun season. However, you got to give to get at some point. And I just thought from my standpoint, like, the swing would have been Kalel. Like, that would have gotten you Kevin Durant. I understand your hesitancy there. But also, Nico, who I think is also going to be a really good player, but where do you think the make good is? You're not going to get Kevin Durant for all the stuff you hate.
So I'm going to speak as if I am Andy Ellisberg, Pat Riley, and all the powers that be in the Miami Heat organization. And I'm going to say this, and I'm going to think out loud. If I would have made that trade, right, how close are we? And it's only a two-year deal, right? That Kevin Durant, you can expect 2 years.
Two good years, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. And then the cupboards are bare. So what I'm thinking as a Miami Heat front office person is that you better guarantee me immediate results from this trade if I'm going to include some of my young players.
Fine, but
otherwise, in 2 years, you're going to really be a dumpster fire because now you have no young talent and no draft picks. But so think of it from that standpoint. Forget, I get the offer was weak, and they probably could have offered one or the other. I'm not saying that.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm saying is if you make a trade like that, right? Like, Houston didn't care. They have a lot of young talent. They got draft picks. They got a whole bunch of stuff, and they're close. So KD, kind of, they can justify sacrificing that future because they are that close. The Heat can't do that. So if you're sacrificing your youth to bring in KD, how much of a difference, besides a new face? Tell me what is it going to – tell me what that does to the Miami Heat if I say I'm getting rid of Kalel or Jovic,
mm-hmm.
right? And maybe Wiggins. So take that route.
Okay.
And I want you to answer this question for me. How much better are the Miami Heat?
I think
they look different. You got a all-time great player on your team.
Right.
How much better are they?
I think they're tremendously better. I mean, like, you're talking about a team that was the worst fourth quarter team in the league last year, and you're adding right. an all-time yeah. scorer who can actually take the burden and actually makes things easier on your okay. other two best players. So, like, I know everybody wants to put the age there, but it's literally a talent at offense they haven't had since the likes of LeBron James, even with his age being what his age is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a little bit of a roll of the dice as far as, like, hey, they don't pay aging stars. They don't like to do that of risking. They didn't want to do it with Dwayne Wade. They didn't want to do it with Jimmy Butler. Didn't want to do it with Shaq. Didn't want to do it with Zoe. They get a line of demarcation on age, and they do not typically believe in paying those guys. So, but if you're talking about one of the weaknesses of the Miami Heat, Kevin Durant being a great elixir to a lot of that,
yeah,
this was right there for you, and to offer that, you know, by the way, Kevin Durant also did his job here in that probably the team that had the offer that the Suns wanted the most was probably Minnesota, and he also deflected off of that, and the Heat, once again, just didn't want to up the ante. And I think the thing that is becoming a pattern for Heat fans that has pissed them off is you always seem like you want to play this conservative offseason offense when it comes to these trade talks. You never want to risk it. You never want to push your chips to the table. You didn't want to get Jimmy Butler help. You didn't want to go all in on Dame. You wanted to do it on your terms. You didn't want to go in all in on Donovan Mitchell. You didn't want to give up Tyler Hero because you said, oh, Tyler Hero is going to be some semblance of Spider. So you didn't want to go all the way in on that. And it's just like, how many times, and this may be the worst version of that Heat team, so maybe this wasn't the time to do it, but how many times are you and that and the front office going to go into these negotiations playing it all the way safe, not thinking you have to risk anything, especially when you look about who you're competing with? You're like, all right, well, let's just do math here. If just the best asset we're getting in this is a pick that's 10 spots higher than us and Jalen Green, who's probably a more attractive piece at 23 years old, even though he makes a good amount of money, than any other player we're offering in this draft or in this deal, why do you think you're going to win that? And why don't you think you have to improve that? I just always feel like they're caught with their pants down, being like, oh, you know, well, Terry Rozier is going to kind of be like what Damian Lillard was. It's like, what? Huh? Okay, so now what are you going to do? You're going to come to us 2 weeks from now, and you're going to deal Wiggins for DeMar DeRozan and be like, hey, we got under the luxury tax because he makes $10 million less. And guys, we got you DeMar DeRozan. We have your go-to score. It's like, yeah, but he's not Kevin Durant. And this is what you guys always do. It's like they always go trade talks on the cheapskies and then come with some semblance of a player as the player the Miami Heat have always wanted. And I'm sorry, but you want to talk about no hope and what would the Miami Heat be with Kevin Durant? I don't know, but I just saw another star go down in the East with a blown Achilles. Kind of feels like it's as open as it's ever been to me. And that, by the way, it shows two things. One, you don't really believe in Tyler Hero and Bam Adebayo, because if you don't believe adding to those guys an all-time scorer, major contender, then what do you believe those guys to be? What do you believe in those guys to be? And if you're telling me you believe in your young guys, well, then tell your goddamn coach to act like it.
Play him.
Tell him to believe in his young guys and play him like he believes in those young guys. Because you guys are stuck here in this seesaw of mediocrity, and you don't act like you have any path. Because I know we're going to go into this year. Are you going to start Nikola Jovic? Are you going to play him like you wouldn't touch him in a Kevin Durant deal? Or you can be like, I don't know what his role is. Maybe the sixth man. Are you going to actually give Khalil Ware the tools to succeed? Will you give him a playmaking guard who can get him the damn basketball? Or are you just going to be like, nah, this is a cool asset to have. So, fine. You don't want to go all in on Kevin Durant, and you want to say, don't know what we would have been with him. Okay, I'll hear those arguments. But your path better not be, we shaved off $10 million, got you DeMar DeRozan because Wiggins never wanted to be here, and you're going to sit here. Or, dude, if you don't really believe in Bam and Tyler, and you don't think that adding Kevin Durant to those two guys can make you any semblance of good in the East, which sucks, if you don't believe that, then you better take a long look in the mirror at those two guys and start wondering, what can we get for them? Be a real organization that I know you to once be, and pick a direction, because this is rudderless. And you're pissing your fans off, because every single time it feels like you allow your team to be thrown into these negotiations just simply as a leverage play. That's how it always ends up. Every single time, whether it be for Spider, whether it be for Harden, whether it be for Damian Lillard, whether it be for Kevin Durant, you're being used. What are you going to do about this? You have an East as open as it's ever been. You have a $50 million center, and you have a $50 million guard, or wants to be a $50 million guard. Do you believe in those guys, or do you not? Because if you're going to give this bull bleep offer for Kevin Durant, to me it tells you, well, they're not a Kevin Durant away from cranking it up and making an actual East run. Okay, then what are they? Because they didn't have Jimmy Butler for half a season. I understand it was a lot to deal with, but they flagrantly failed in being face of the franchise guys without him. Without those JB training wheels around, they got blown out in the midst of a series like we have never seen. So, I just want to know, Pat, Andy, Nikki, Nick, Spo, Zoe, what the hell are you doing? What's the plan?
That was beautiful.
I couldn't say that any better.
That was beautiful.
I 100% agree with you. Like, and this is why last year, if you had played all of your young players, if for any other reason other than having more things to trade, because now here's what you have. You have two guys you like, but nobody else has seen play basketball on a consistent basis. Kalo a little more at the end of the year. But so you have those two guys. You have Bam and Tyler. Now, I can understand why you want to keep Tyler, even though Tyler might be better off the ball. But you've put him at point guard. There's just a lot of things that aren't very clear as to the direction of the team. It's hard for me to get this in my brain. This is the hardest part for me. When you say these two guys are untouchable, but you haven't touched them either.
100%.
It's a weird dynamic. And I thought I was on an island when I said I wouldn't trade Kalel or Jovic, but I didn't think the Heat would think that, because you're not playing them like they're important to you.
Schmeathen says it well, where he says the Heat have to decide on extending Nico. They could actually extend him this year, but he's going to be going into the final year of his contract. What do you know what he's worth?
Right.
What do you know? What's his value to you guys? What is it? I love the guy. I love him as a player. I love watching Nikola Jovic play basketball. But, like, what do you guys see? Like, it's just, is there anything here? Any semblance of a team that's going to actually do anything? Do you believe in yourself? Because it doesn't even feel like you guys believe in yourselves. That's the thing. It's
their actions don't fully explain this past weekend, right? How you have treated Kalel and Jovic don't quite coincide or look like the comments you've made about them.
Right.
Right? Like, how you played them certainly doesn't seem like they're untouchable.
It was the yin and the yang, and Tobin had pointed out, it's one of the reasons I want to talk to Tobin. Tobin pointed out during the parade broadcast, it was the yin and yang. You had a franchise being celebrated by their fans who've put together this run of exceptionalism over two seasons for sure, maybe three, and quite possibly four. You know, Solana argues the President's Trophy season should be included in that. And if you do, it's four straight seasons. And then you've got every decision that they've made personnel-wise from the front office being a slam dunk. And while this celebration of that is going on, news is coming in that Kevin Durant is going to Houston because the Heat were unwilling to give up enough to get Kevin Durant in a Heat uni, which I'm not even so certain I wanted very badly, but I know I don't want what seems to be looming, which is running it back. You know what I'm like? I'm really torn. It's why I want to get Tobin's take. I didn't hear his show today, but I wasn't in love with the thought of Kevin Durant because he is getting older and he is prone to injury and didn't make the playoffs last season. But man, if the Heat are telling me it's more important for me to watch and root for Haywood Highsmith and Kalel Ware than to get a season and who knows where it would lead with KD, that's my hang up. I trust in Pat Riley and I trust the Miami Heat, and they have delivered us more success than any franchise over What is it, Solana? Really 20 years, right? Since 06.
Next year will be 20 years.
Almost 20 years, yeah.
Even the year before, I mean, Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals.
Right.
Yeah, they've been perennially a playoff team since early 2000s, even in the 90s.
So I trust them. I'm not telling you I don't trust them. I'm just telling you, and again, I'm not a guy that was a big proponent of getting Kevin Durant because I didn't think he was going to be the answer. But if my options are Kevin Durant, let's see what happens, or Khalil Ware, Haywood Highsmith, pick number 20, let's see what happens, I'd probably ride with KD at that point. But again, I don't get paid to make those decisions.
I mean, that's why I like, Solana, you just brought up the receipts because, you know, I keep handwritten notes.
Right.
And we, early on with KD, we had this conversation and I said, we're good. Tyler, Bam, Khalil Ware, Davion Mitchell, Pelle Larsen, Haywood Highsmith. I don't think that's an exciting team to cheer for at all. And then y'all, you know, came back and we were talking about it where if you're going to stay there, you might as well trade off the big names and really reset and get draft picks and all of that stuff. I am not excited to go into the season with the names I just said.
Yeah.
And the East is weak. I heard Tobin talking about how the East, you know, East wide open. We've talked about it. That list of humans does not make me say, let's go Heat, Pat Riley's the GOAT. It just doesn't.
What if you add Nico Jovic to that list because you didn't have that name written down? Does that change your opinion of anything?
If you Nico Jovic me this summer, I'm going
to
kill you.
That Riley refused to give up. He literally refused to give up Jovic and Phoenix wanted him. And so, he's one of those guys who better deliver. Where Jovic better deliver.
I'll take it a step further. Eric Spoelstra better play those two dudes next year. Because fine. You don't even want to dangle them in a trade. Fine for Kevin Durant. But don't tell me Nico Jovic has a short leash next year, Eric Spoelstra. Don't tell me Khalil Ware is going to get played off the floor by Thomas Bryant and the Indiana Pacers when you play them in the middle of January, which happened last year. Like, those guys better be playing. And, Hawk, it's not even that Phoenix wanted them. Phoenix was just like, well, aren't you at least going to offer us, like, anything else? Like, Wiggins, okay.
Are we reading this wrong? This literally says Terry Rozier.
Terry Rozier.
What are we reading wrong?
And then two bench players. Everybody's assuming it was Haywood Highsmith and Jaime Jaquez Jr. And then the 20th overall selection. Phoenix was probably like, all right, we'll let that sit for 2 weeks. And they'll come back with Nico Jovic and Khalil Ware. We'll get this done. And the Heat were like, no. I mean, this is our offer. Guys, the Heat didn't want Kevin Durant. Let's be honest. I mean,
they wanted him at a very bargain basement price. Because Phoenix, after what happened with Desmond Bane, Phoenix would have a very difficult time turning to their fan base and saying, we got zero established stars and we got a late first round draft pick. And so at least with Green, it's Gerald Green, right? At least with...
Not Gerald Green.
Jalen Green. There we go.
At least with Jalen Green, they can say to the fan base, we got a bona fide star. Yeah. It's not... This isn't a prospect. I'm kind of like with Solana where, I mean, did the Heat really want to get in this battle for KD? Or was it, hey, KD maybe wants to play here. He turns the screws a little bit. We give up very little, and we get to roll the dice with KD because that was not, from the offers we're reading, was not a strong offer.
That was, y'all do garage sales? Have y'all ever done a garage sale?
Yeah, I love a garage sale.
When you're like, you go up and they're selling a bike for $100, and that one dude walks up and says, I got $6.
Yeah.
And you're like, I understand negotiation, sir, but I'm asking for 100. Okay, I got 650. Like, you can't be that guy if Kevin Durant's the bicycle. And it seemed like...
Unless you don't really want the bicycle.
And I don't know. And that's what one of the tweets y'all sent me was like, they get involved in... It made me think, we are involved in every free agent talk. But are we just involved because we want our name involved, or we really want to get this damn bicycle from this
right,
garage
it's field? Like the Marlins when Shohei Ohtani was looking for another team. It was like, well, I think the Marlins are involved in this in some way, shape, or form.
I got 675. Asking for 100, sir.
Hawk, maybe they did want Durant at that very low price, but the Heat, look, man, Pat Riley, Andy Ellisberg, Nick Arison, like, they're not dumb. They know what other teams could be offering, would be offering, probably did offer. They know that that's not going to land Kevin Durant. Like,
well,
I mean, Hawk, just with what they accepted from Houston, right? Dylan Brooks is the other name in that piece. He's a starter. He's a legit NBA starter. Say what you want about Dylan Brooks. The guy's annoying as hell and borderline weird. But he's a starter, a good role player, a very good starter in the NBA. The number 10 overall pick, so a lottery pick, top 10 pick, and then a ton of second-round draft picks.
No, it's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer.
The Heat offered one starter in Andrew Wiggins. Okay, like we all knew that would be a part of it. And then Terry Rozier, I understand what Miami's doing, but he just came off of one of the worst NBA seasons probably ever. And then two role players, which, look, man, like, I love Haywood Highsmith. We know what he is. He's not an NBA starter. He's a role player. And then Jaime Jaquez Jr., if that was the other name, which is it's being reported it is, he didn't show that he has the potential to be a starter in the NBA either. So, like, I'm sorry.
They took a step backwards.
Right. I'm sitting here and I'm saying, look, the Heat made it seem like they wanted to be in the Kevin Durant sweepstakes. Based on what they offered, they did not think Kevin Durant, Tyler Herro, and Bam Adebayo could A, be a contender, or B, they did not want to pay Kevin Durant $110 million over the next 2 years. They did
well,
not
they didn't
want to
give up youth either. I think you were off when Jim Larrañaga was on with us on Thursday. And Jim Larrañaga said flat out, he goes, listen, 37-year-old or a 21-year-old, you better be absolute certain that you're in your championship window right now. Because if you are giving up a 21-year-old, which I believe Kalel Ware is, and you're getting a 37-year-old in return, it's because you think you can win a championship right now. And if Kevin Durant wasn't the difference between a championship, which I don't think he was. Now, for Houston, he may be. For the Heat, I'm not necessarily certain. And if that's the case, if you don't think it's a championship window, then you're probably better off hanging on to your younger talent.
But my just as Delano said, bona fide starters, someone that is going to start the Heat roster. Look at the Heat roster. The player that's going to start on whatever team he goes to, gets traded tomorrow, gets cut and picked up. It's Bam and Tyler. Maybe Wiggins. Tell me if I'm wrong. The other guys on our roster are not guaranteed to go anywhere and start at anything.
Right. Correct.
That's the problem.
But that's why they're young guys with upside. I mean, Kalel Ware, Crowder, I'm not saying he is. I don't know. We saw a small sample size. He could be. He could be. And look, you want to laugh about Nikola Jokic. I swear I'm not doing shtick here. Nikola Jokic has a ton of upside. I don't know if he's going to end up being a star or not. I don't know. Probably not. But he does have upside. There's a reason why the Heat aren't willing to just give him up. So, I mean, they feel like those guys could develop into surefire starters around the NBA. They better be right.
We got a big old show lined up for you and a lot of stuff to get to here. As we always say, it used to be, you know, after minicamp kind of shut down for the Dolphins and a little recruiting in there, that was kind of it, man. And you were off and running with what was going to happen and all those things, which are still important. But, yeah, we got a lot of news going on. Marlins, good God, not very nice to the San Francisco Giants. I mean, beat the crap out of them again last night after the Giants came back and tied it up. Yes, I watched the game yesterday, and then the Marlins just go out and score 7 straight runs on that game and get a 12-5 win. Playing great. 4 straight wins. First time this year, 9-4 in their last 13 games. And give them credit, man, because it's a bunch of who are those guys up there, and a lot of guys are the trade guys from all the deals that have been made. and just kind of sticking with this plan. And so, God, we got all kinds of stuff Sunday. Just to run through some of the stuff, and we get into some NFL news and the Heat, as well as the NHL and the Florida Panthers, who got a lot of interesting things going on over the next few days, trying to figure out, can you sign one, can you sign two, or can you get the hat trick done? And that's the situation Bill Zito's in right now as well. So it's a great problem to have, by the way. Every team wishes at the end of the year, they could go, man, we just won a friggin' championship. How do we keep all these guys together? How many of these good guys can we keep? Man, we are tight on money. I want to have that problem where we're sitting complaining about how to try to understanding the salary cap and trying to figure out how many guys you can keep. And then having the confidence if you can't, you're going to find some other guys like them who will fit right into the system because of the confidence that you have in the general manager that he knows what the FC is doing.
So you mean like kind of like the opposite of what we're doing with the Heat right now where we're trying to get rid of guys?
Well, so that's a good one.
Kind of the opposite, right?
Yeah, yeah. I would. And what are the Heat? I was just
this is a problem. We don't have a lot in this town, by the way. And
I understand. We always start with, we all love Pat Riley. Everybody loves Pat Riley. People get on him. We defend Pat, and Pat's still the guy, and the Pat thing that he started here. And
he's always going to be the guy.
Yeah.
Got his damn name on the court.
But I got to tell you, what are we doing? I mean, I get it. We got 6 first-round picks now on this team. I can't ever remember 6 first-round picks from age 27 to 19. I know we did this yesterday of guys. They're talking about Andrew Wiggins getting traded. Rui Hachimura might be the guy coming back. 6'8 guy for a 6'8 guy, and I get it. Andrew Wiggins played a lot of championship games with Golden State, and he's a pretty good all-around player. We saw real good certain nights, and we saw, you know, kind of not much on other nights. So and now there's rumor maybe the Heat are interested in Jonathan Kuminga from the Golden State Warriors, who I think's upside's phenomenal, and he wants out. He's sick of getting bounced. All the veteran guys come in, including Jimmy Butler, and all of a sudden he can't get playing time. Then he does get some and plays real well, and I think he is just, please get me out of here. I need a fresh start. This thing, Steve
Kerr.
Yeah,
none of these moves are going to move the needle, though, man. That's the problem.
I get it.
You had the one. Like, if you wanted to move the needle, the Kevin Durant move was the move to make.
And everybody is saying, what are you doing? You know. By the way, the Heat know more than a hell of a lot more than we do, and we're sitting here looking this and that.
They'll never answer.
They know that Kevin Durant.
We'll hear from Riley, what, maybe soon here after this draft? I don't know.
We'll be hearing from him.
We might not hear from him until the end of next season.
That's right. He might be cutting back, putting somebody else in charge of
that. Speak at the family fest and talk about the event, and then maybe you'll hear from him at the end. But, Joe, I don't know how we're going to find out what happened with Kevin Durant or what they actually think of him.
So let's just run through what has happened over the last 12 months. Last year, we had the, you know, we remember it like yesterday about shut up and Jimmy Butler play and I need guys to stay healthy, and we think we got a really good team. But we need, and I remember, Tyler Hero and Jimmy Butler to play more games. I know they're not getting hurt on purpose, but we need you to play more games. And, you know, and Pat Wright, he wasn't nice about it in some ways. Pat's old school. He had to kind of tell it like it is with a little shut up. And if you're not playing, that's old school. Shut up. What are you doing talking? You haven't played in a month. Why the hell are you talking? And by the way, I came from that school. I remember being on IR, and it was like you weren't part of the team. He made you feel so miserable. You wanted, if you had a broken bone, you just said, screw it, just shoot it up, I'll just play. I don't want to go through this. I don't want to go through coach walking by me after a loss and kind of looks at you like, how do you feel? I feel terrible. My injury hurt. I feel bad about that. So I get the old school stuff. I do. But in the bigger picture, nothing against Kasparis, Lakatšonis. What are we doing? I mean, what are we doing besides going to develop players? And I know part of the culture is to develop some guys. I call them the Max Struces. You can throw out your favorite guy that's playing for another team now. And some guys have worked out, some haven't. But it can't just be about developing these first-round picks. There's just got to be something else. Those guys, I think it's fair to say none of them are going to be guys that come in and score 23, 24, 25 points a night. So, yeah, it's for the first time. I got it last year. He said, hey, we're having our guys. Rozier's been in the system now. He's coming back a different guy. He was terrible. This guy and Jimmy's going to come back. Jimmy, just show me and I'll give you that extension, but you got to play the way you do in the playoffs and be ready to go. And so, you know, he kind of said, hey, we're running it back. Well, man, we can't run this thing back. Can't run it back and try to sell your fan base on development of six first-round picks. There's got to be more. And even if you trade Andrew Wiggins, what are you really getting for? And I get it, man. Lakers are saying great things about Andrew Wiggins. They've seen him a lot, Golden State and the Lakers games through the years and all those things. And he does. Like certain nights, Andrew Wiggins looks really good. Hell, he quietly, what did he average? 19 points a game. I think he averaged quietly 19 points a game. And I do mean quietly. So, yeah.
We always talk about impacting winning, and that's just those are empty,
yes,
empty stats.
So that's an interesting one.
Welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you, 560 WQAM. Take you guys up until 2 here on the program. We're streaming live on YouTube and Twitch, the channel Miami 560 WQAM, and free on the Audacy app, AUDACY, free in your app store. You guys can use the rewind feature and catch us whenever, wherever we're meant to be together. I'll be here. You'll be near. And that's the rest, my dear.
Okay.
What's going on here? What's going on?
Shakira.
You know what? I knew that sounded familiar. I don't like it. Yeah. Why you gotta go that route?
Is that the lyric though? Man, I've been saying.
I don't know. I mixed two songs. I just don't. I didn't know any other sticking point for Shakira other than Shakira.
That's great.
We'll talk to Anthony Chang here any minute. He should link in with us here, and we'll talk a little Miami Heat with him as the Heat have the 20th pick in tomorrow night's draft. You guys can get our coverage tomorrow here on 560 WQAM. Myself and Solana will take you guys up until the 20th pick and have all your coverage. I believe we'll have some Heat great stop by along the way, have some fun there. Mock drafts out today. They're all getting updated and getting all excited. We know Cooper Flagg, the flying intangibles, is going to be going number one overall.
He's got mad hops too, though. Let's not.
He does. He definitely does, and I'm sure it's going to be a scene tomorrow when he gets drafted. Somehow, some way, the Dallas Mavericks get gifted Cooper Flagg right after losing Luka Doncic.
Well, we know. That's right, though, because I got my eye on someone no one's mentioning.
Who's that?
Igor Demon is probably not how you pronounce his name. It's probably Demon, but.
Why do you have your eye on him?
6'8", point guard, Russian.
Oh. Worked out for the Panthers.
Come on.
Worked out for the Panthers. Let's go out to the Toyota of Hollywood guest line. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. And there we will find the great Anthony Chang, Miami Heat beat reporter from the Miami Herald. Anthony, how you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good.
I'm good, buddy. My first question to you is, what were your plans on Sunday before Kevin Durant ruined them?
I actually was home that day, which was good timing. It wasn't bad timing. The day before would have been bad. I had my daughter's dance recital. So I'm glad it happened on Sunday. I kind of had a feeling it would happen by the end of the weekend. So I was like, Sunday, I'm going to watch the Panthers parade. I'm going to stay home, see if there's news. So it all things considered, when it could have happened, it was good timing.
What was, I guess, your level of surprise that the Heat didn't pull in Kevin Durant? There was it seemed like some momentum was building from them from all the rumors and rumblings that were out there, but ultimately he ends up with Houston.
I wasn't too surprised because I knew they were going to draw a line. And I mean, other teams had more assets to put in the Durant trade, right? Houston, San Antonio. San Antonio really didn't get involved, but Houston had more assets. Minnesota had more assets. They probably should have been more, I don't want to say desperate, but more eager to get a Kevin Durant, because they felt like Kevin Durant, Houston puts them in a contenders. I mean, they're already contenders, right? But with Kevin Durant, now you could put them among the top five teams in the league, right? With Durant in Miami, yeah, he would have made them better, but are they a title contender? I think most would say probably not. So I think it just made more sense for Houston, and they also had more stuff to give. So I wasn't too shocked. I mean, too shocked by the news. And again, just throwing the fact of knowing that they weren't going to put in everything to get KD. I mean, this is the same thing at the trade deadline. They had a chance to get him. Phoenix wanted too much. He weren't willing to give up, you know, Kelo Ware, all their young players, their draft picks. And we saw the same thing this time around, where they had a line they drew and they weren't going to go past it. And they really didn't budge.
Well, Anthony, first of all, this guy right here now all of a sudden tries to be reasonable radio guy. But I was saying the same thing, that all these other teams have so many more assets to offer. And he wasn't having it. Now, all of a sudden, he's open to the conversation, which is amazing to me. That being said, based on what the Heat offered, I came to the conclusion they weren't as interested as maybe we thought they were. Because there is no way you could think. Because here's, the Heat know what everybody else has to offer. Sure. So you know you have to be in the ballpark, you know, to maybe, and maybe your player is more appealing, and then we can work out the draft picks. But if you don't put anything out there that's appealing, and all these teams have all these assets, how can you think that, you know, to me, it just seemed like, to me, based on what they offered, the Heat weren't as interested as we thought they were.
Yeah, I think they were scared off, obviously, by his age, he's going to be 37, injury history. Like, the thought of, what if we give up Khalil Ware, Jaime Jaquez, these salary fillers, right, these big contracts that we could maybe use in another trade, multiple picks, or even one first-round pick, and then he gets injured midseason, right? I know that's a what-if, and you never know, but he is going to be 37. Can you depend on Kevin Durant to play at a high level through a long playoff run? We just saw in the playoffs this year, right? They're grueling, long playoffs. All the injuries this year. So it's tough. Like it's you have to weigh the pros and cons. Obviously, they're interested in Kevin Durant. I mean, he's an all-time great, still one of the NBA's top offensive players.
Right.
You look at his level of efficiency, amazing. But I think what we saw was, A, they were scared off by his age and injury history, and also kind of like they were faced with the reality of maybe we're not a Kevin Durant away, right? Like maybe that's kind of the decision that, you know, they met, they talked it over. What are we going to do? What are we going to offer? What does Kevin Durant do for us if we give up these pieces and we deplete some of our depth? Where are we? Maybe they came to the realization that, look, that's not enough. So kind of a tough place to be if you're the Heat or a Heat fan, but I think that's kind of what we saw in the last few days.
And I think my unreasonableness yesterday and why I was just upset, is it just I don't really know where the direction is here then, right? Because they're going to be faced with this decision on Tyler Hero's extension. And we know, like, in this new NBA, like, hey, once you kind of invest in your top two guys, investing in a third is very tough. It's very punitive. And if you don't feel close, hell, you can see some of the decisions that have to be made around the league. And so I'm just wondering, if you don't think you're a Kevin Durant away, then what does it say about what the organization truly thinks about Bam and Tyler being atop the organization? And do they have to come to some kind of decision there with them?
Yeah, no, it's an interesting question. And that's why it's going to be such an interesting offseason, I think, because they do have to pick a direction. And that Kevin Durant decision might have been them signaling what direction they're picking, right?
Right.
This team is never going to be a total teardown and the complete rebuild and trade everybody and trade and just hoard 15 draft picks. That's not what they do. But could you see some type of rebuild? Yeah, I mean, I think at this point, unless Giannis becomes available and you surprisingly have enough assets to get Giannis, which they haven't had enough assets to get any star the last 5 years, right? Unless that happens, like, that's kind of like the direction they're being forced to go. If you bring back most of this roster and without a significant star addition, you can't be in the luxury tax this year. Not because of money, but you're facing the repeater tax if you're in the luxury tax this year. It's just not smart business-wise, basketball-wise, the limitations that come with that stuff. you're probably going to have to shed money to get under the tax just because it makes sense, because you're not a true title contender. So they're going to be forced to pick a direction unless something surprisingly happens and comes up and there an opportunity comes up to get a superstar in the next few months. I think they're going to have to pick it in the, that direction they pick is going to be probably to do a little bit of a rebuild, because that's really their only choice at this point.
Are you shocked that the way they talk about Kalel and Jovic, yet the way they played them doesn't really match up to what they think of those two guys? Because Kalel couldn't get on the floor in the beginning of the year, sure. And now they're saying we can't trade him. We can't get rid of him. Well, he should be farther along, because I think you should have just took your lumps early on. You won 37 games, and you still have questions because he would sit on the end of the bench after 2 minutes.
Yeah, and it's a fair point, but I will say the counterpoint is toward the end of the season, Kalel Ware was a big part of what they did, right? The last 3 or 4 months, I mean, he was a starter. I know in the playoffs, kind of got played off the court a little bit, matchup-wise, his first playoff experience. But for the most part, he was a full-time starter those last 3 or 4 months. And Jovic, before the injury,
yeah, he was good.
He was playing maybe his most consistent in his most consistent role yet of his career, most consistent basketball of his career. And I think the Heat, during that flash before the hand injury, they were playing better. Jovic was a big part of that. I'm not saying Jovic's injury is why they won a 10-game losing streak, but there was that correlation of Jovic goes out, they start losing a bunch of games. So I think, you know, yes, they didn't play a ton early in the season. Jovic lost his starting spot. He fell out of the rotation. But the second half of the season, Ware was obviously a full-time starter. And Jovic, if you take away the injury, which is, you know, lost month and a half or so, he would have been a big part of that rotation as a sixth man. So maybe Jovic starts this year, maybe he doesn't. But I think if he's obviously still on the roster, he's going to be a big part of what they do. He has to be at this point.
Right. How much of this, and I tried to put myself in the Heat's position, and how much of this, because we've been saying this for the last 3 or 4 years, if we were healthy, this would be different. And they've been saying it because they've had key injuries for the last 3 or 4 years, and every year they'd come back because they don't really know what they have because everybody's been banged up. I don't think they played the same starting five, 50 games?
Yeah.
So how can you evaluate your team and your players when every one of them has missed substantial time other than Bam?
Yeah, I mean, to me, this year, Hero and Bam were pretty healthy. Your two best players are pretty healthy.
Right.
Yes, Jovic missed time. Ware really didn't have any big injuries. It was just kind of here and there, maybe missed a game or two.
Right.
Hawkins had his little, you know, in and out during the season. Terry Rozier was available most of the season. For all the rotation, he was available. So injuries weren't as much of a problem this year. I just think it was more the rotation was always in flux because they were trying to find something that worked. Obviously, the Jimmy stuff played a role in that. But when your rotation is in flux like that, and it's not because of injuries, it's more just because of trying to find some formula that works, usually means you're not a very good team, right?
Right.
So I think that's the bottom line here is they found something that kind of worked down the stretch with Alec Burks and Davion Mitchell in the starting lineup, got them into the playoffs. You know, they used that lineup in the play-in tournament. But yeah, I think everything is on the table now. If they bring back most of this roster, we know Bam and Tyler will probably start, or will definitely start, but beyond that, you think Kalel Ware starts. You would think if Davion's back, Davion starts. But who knows? Davion could be coming off the bench next year. So I think, I think we don't know kind of what this rotation will look like because there were so many variations of it last season.
So you had a little reporting on the status of DeRozan, DeMar DeRozan, and Jonathan Kuminga, and where the Heat's interest is. Can you give us, I guess, the latest on where the Heat's at? Because their name was kind of kicked around with rumors there as backup plans. So do you have anything on that as far as where they stand or may stand with those guys?
Yeah, I know that the Heat has been linked to them by multiple reports the last week or so. Barry and I touched base on both those guys as of, I think it was Sunday. Was that the other Kevin Durant trade? I'm losing my track of days right now. I think as of Sunday, both the Heat has not been in contact yet with either of those guys. And either, you know, in regard to either of those guys. So obviously that could change. That was Sunday. The Kevin Durant trade just happened. Maybe yesterday or today that changes. But as of Sunday, there had not been any contact, in regard to both of those names, DeMar and Kuminga. DeRozan is interesting. I know Heat fans aren't super excited if they get DeRozan, but his contract is interesting because He only has $10 million guaranteed next season, which is pretty good contract, right? Like if you're looking for 2026 cap space, and you know, yes, it's that $10 million, but it's not $30 million. So if you can get off a bigger contract for DeRozan, and you're able to save money next year, that might be appealing to the Heat while also getting DeMar DeRozan. While is he going to make you a championship contender? No, but could he help your offense? Yeah, why not? Right? Like he doesn't have, it doesn't hurt to have DeMar DeRozan. And he would take some of the pressure off of Tyler Hero. So we'll see. But yeah, as of Sunday, there had been no traction.
So you're basically saying Kuminga's too expensive?
Kuminga could be too expensive. I mean, he's younger. Right. He has more upside, obviously, than DeRozan. Right. You kind of know what DeRozan is. But, I mean, you're kind of taking a chance, right? Like, sometimes that works out. You look at the Pacers. Like, they got a bunch of guys on their second contracts, and that worked out for them. You know, guys that didn't drop, I got them young, got them in the same contracts, and it kind of, a lot of them hit. Maybe Kuminga's that type of guy, but yeah, I mean, he hasn't shown the ability to be like an all-star yet, right? Like he's on flashes. So how much are you willing to invest in a player like that still has a lot to prove? That's really the big question.
One of the things that I thought was interesting, at least I don't think I read that, but in your guys' reporting, it didn't seem like Duncan Robinson was in the talks. Now he's got a bit of a weird contract. Can you explain a little bit about like where things stand with Duncan and you know his deal, because it's not fully guaranteed, but he has to pick like a date. Like what's the deal with Duncan Robinson's contract?
Yeah, he basically has until Sunday. He has a decision to has an early termination option in his contract that would make him an unrestricted free agent. But if he bypasses that early termination option, he would have $9.8 million of his salary guaranteed, which his full salary is $19.8 million, but he would have $9.8 million guaranteed. So it would still be on the Heat's books. At that point, he would obviously wouldn't be a free agent. And the Heat would have, I think, until July 8th is the day to waive him and save that $10 million, the additional $10 million off their books, which could be helpful if you want to get Davion Wright under the tax and you want to shed money. Or the Heat could keep him past July 8th. His full salary would be then guaranteed. I think he would be on an expiring contract, so maybe he can talk themselves into saying, well, you know, we're already paying him the close to $10 million. Let's just guarantee the rest of it. He's an expiring. He's a guy we could play that's obviously good, right? He's useful. And then he's an expiring contract, so maybe a contender wants a really good three-point shooter in Duncan Robinson, and we'll take on that contract as an expiring deal, and we can use it as an asset. So Duncan has a decision to make, right, ahead of Sunday. We would think that he would not exercise early termination option. You would want that $10 million guaranteed.
Right.
But then the ball's in the Heat's court of like, what do we do? Do we cut him and save the $10 million? Do we keep him past that day because we're already paying him $10 million anyway? It's going to be interesting to see. One other option I know that's been explored, I don't think it's likely, but it could happen. Duncan could use the early termination option, become a free agent, and kind of renegotiate with the Heat a new contract. Of let's say we're going to give you the $9.8 million you had guaranteed, let's say this year. Mm-hmm. And then we add two more years to it. And let's say it becomes a 3-year, $33 million contract. Not terrible for a guy like Duncan Robinson, right? He's one of the NBA's top shooters. That's an option. I don't know if Duncan would do that, right? Because if he thinks he can get the $10 million he has guaranteed plus more money in the free agent market, why would you do that? But it is an option that the Heat has and that Duncan has if they want to explore that.
Talking to Anthony Chang, Miami Heat beat reporter from the Miami Herald. And as far as Davion is concerned, do you have any thought on like what his market is? Do you have any idea like what the rumblings are as like what it may take to re-sign him? Because it's kind of hard for me in today's NBA. I don't know what a guy like Davion Mitchell deserves or gets because like the money and the contracts are so crazy. So do we have any pulse on like what it will take to re-sign him or what the market may be for him?
It's interesting. I've seen it all over the place. Like I spoke to somebody during the play-in tournament last year, I remember, and that was when he was playing really well. It's like, what do you think? I mean, Davion's playing awesome. Like, do you think he can get the full mid-level? They're like, I think he'd be lucky to get $5 million. I'm like,
really? Really?
So there's a lot of people that think he's going to get the full mid-level. So it's really hard to judge. It really comes down to, do teams think he could replicate that run he had with the Heat last year? Because he plays
an important role, though. You can move Tyler off the ball. And they've been looking for somebody like that for 2 years. And Tyler always ends up handling the ball. So if you can move him off the ball, bring Davion up with the draft coming up. Yeah. They're supposedly going to take that point guard. He takes the Davion role. And now you got Davion and you got Tyler. together.
And defensively. I mean, you right, need someone exactly. to be able to, you need a point of attack defender. They haven't had somebody like that in a long time.
Right. Right.
So, yeah, I think he's going to get more than $5 million, obviously. I think he's going to get closer to the full mid-level. Maybe he won't get the full mid-level, the 14.1, but I could definitely see him getting to double digits, right? Right. So how far is the Heat willing to go? Did Davion play himself out of a Heat return because he played so well? I do expect him this week, maybe even today, we'll see, to extend a qualifying offer of Davion to make him a restricted free agent, which gives the Heat an advantage in bringing him back because they'll have the opportunity to match. But again, he really can't be a tax team this year. I mean, they could, but it doesn't really make sense for them to be a tax team this year. So it's like it's being creative and trying to bring Davion back at probably a, you know, not a huge salary, but, you know, a good chunk of salary and still find a way under the tax. And does that mean cutting Duncan before July 8 and saving the $10 million to open up that room to bring Davion back? Does that mean trading some, making a trade to shed some money to free up that room to sign Davion? There's different ways they can go about it. But yeah, I think that he would love to bring Davion back, but it's going to depend on what he gets in the open market, really.
Yeah, they appreciate the time, man. Enjoy the rest of your week. Enjoy draft night tomorrow night. See you at the arena. And enjoy the rest of your day, man. Thanks for joining us.
I was going to say, Brent, I think I should be the one interviewing you after your viral rant. That was spot on. Well done. Well done.
Hey, man. Like, look, I'm just frustrated. You know me, man. I want the big names. I'm spoiled, but...
Yeah, but I'm just confused. The big names don't make sense.
That yeah. one made sense. No. To me, it made sense.
No, it made some sense, but I think it was well said what you I think, and you, I think you kind of represented a lot of feelings for Heat fans. So I'm not surprised. I actually saw it live. I had just been happening to listen to the show in the car while you said that, and I was like, oh, this is gonna get popular on Heat Twitter. I kind of saw it happening. So well, I was surprised when I saw it all over the place a few hours later.
Yeah, will my name be on the list tomorrow? Is the question? Be like, I think you're banned. You.
I don't think your fingerprints gonna work now.
Like, first the Jimmy Butler question, now this. You're out of here.
Yeah, you're out of here.
Go watch it. Go watch it from the Hooters over at Bayside.
I'll bring pizza to you outside the arena.
Thank you. I appreciate it, buddy.
All right, bye guys.
Anthony Chang, Miami Herald. Go check out his work. He does great work. Him and Barry Jackson have been on all of this stuff for your offseason. They do a great job.
Do you feel better?
Do I feel better?
I can tell like you're trying to be professional while getting irritated because you understand the reality of all of this, but the Tobin in you and the show pony in you, it won't let it set in.
I feel like I am handling it well. I think that again, what? I think I am handling it well. I went a little mad yesterday and I broke a little bad yesterday, but I thought it was warranted. And I think there still needs to be things that have to be answered. I get what Anthony's saying. Like, look, again, I think that when we were joking about the Kevin Durant pursuit, we're like, yeah, this probably ends with them trading for DeMar DeRozan to save money and resetting. But, you know, God, am I sick of that? Like, what are we talking about here? Like, this is going to be another year. And I just feel like the direction of the organization right now is just treading water, Leroy, and that's just not their standard.
Can we look at it this way? I would say DeMar DeRozan offensively is very similar to Jimmy in how they do things, right?
Yeah, I would even say that like, you would say DeMar is probably a little more polished. Like he's got that beautiful, beautiful jump shot, beautiful mid-range game, all that stuff.
Jimmy is much better defensively.
Yep.
So that's where we go there. But what if I give you DeMar DeRozan 75 games? It's going to look a lot better than it actually may be simply because you're going to have some continuity. That has to kind of mean something that, hey, we got a guy who's durable, who's going to give us everything, who's going to be out there regardless, and who's going to, you know, play 70, 75 games. And if you just had that the last 2 years, would you be in a better place now?
I was reading some Ask Ira Winderman in the Sun Sentinel, and there seems to be kind of a prevailing notion amongst Heat fans, which is, why Heat? Like, why would you make Kalel Ware and Niko Jovic untouchable? And yeah. Ira, no, it was Barry Jackson. Let me read you this tweet from Barry Jackson. I thought this was a fairly astute tweet. Let me find it. Barry Jackson from the Miami Herald. He says, if Ware and Jovic are viewed by the Heat as simply too valuable to trade for anyone except an in-his-prime perennial all-star, then I don't know how they can add a clear-cut number one to pair with Bam and Hero. And he's great right. Point. So if you're the Heat, you don't want to give up Bam or Hero. But you're also saying a couple guys on the team who are young, we're not giving them up either. But we need someone to pair with Bam and Hero. But you can't have our young guys, the ones who are valuable. So just give us someone. And Barry Jackson's saying, how are you going to, if those are your parameters, again, by the way, I'm not making the case that the Heat should have made a deal for KD, but I do understand where the frustration would be. And I understand what Barry Jackson's saying there. If they're untouchable for an aging perennial all-star, and the only way you'd give them up is for a current young perennial all-star, how? It like doesn't add up.
What are your assets?
Well, you've got Bam and Tyler.
But when I come to you like Phoenix did, okay, hey, this is a place KD wants to be. We want to help him out. What do you have for us? Haywood Highsmith and Pella Larson. Like, really? What are you willing to give me? What are your assets? The first round picks? Not until 2094. Like, what are we willing to give up? Do we have anything?
By the way, Kalel Ware, Barry Jackson tweeted out, will be at the Heat draft party 7 p.m. this Wednesday at the Kaseya Center.
We'll be doing a show live from there, by the way, Tobin and I.
But, Solana, let's be honest. I know you have your attachment to the Heat. Jovic and Ware are, they could be a number, they could be a 1, 2, or 3 on the championship team.
Well, I don't think you could say definitively anything about Kalel Ware. I don't know. You know, it was a small sample size. It was fun. It was fun as hell when he was playing in there. Dude was out of the rotation completely for the first, 60% of the season. And then he was starting, and all of a sudden he was the favorite to be rookie of the year. So, I don't know. No, I don't think Nikola Jovic is going to be a 1, 2, or 3 on a title team. But it doesn't mean he's not going to be very good. Man, I just don't think the Heat wanted to pay Durant at that age, and I don't think...
I think that was it. Yeah. The weird thing is, though, Pat Riley said in the postseason press conference, we have no problem taking on an aging veteran. That doesn't scare us off at all. So he kind of gave conflicting stories there.
Well, maybe Kevin Durant was not the aging veteran that he had in mind. I mean,
was it Russell Westbrook?
I don't know. I think we all just assumed it was Kevin Durant, and maybe in his mind it wasn't. But because he said those comments, guys, when I'm reading prior to this trade going through, the difference between the Heat getting Kevin Durant or not and Phoenix accepting the terms was Kalel Ware. I thought in the back of my mind, yeah, that just doesn't sound right to me. There has to be something more. A pick. Maybe it was Tyler Hero, you know? Or maybe it was a collection of all the guys. But to see this reporting where they didn't even offer Ware or Nikola Jovic seems weird based on what Pat Riley told us. I don't think they wanted Kevin Durant. I don't know.
They wanted him at a bargain basement price.
But they weren't going to get him. Hawk, look at the haul that Phoenix sent to Brooklyn for Kevin Durant. And then fast forward to now, and Phoenix Suns fans are going to say, we gave up that entire haul, including Mikal Bridges, who helped the New York Knicks get to the Eastern Conference Finals, and all those picks that Brooklyn now has to end up with Terry Rozier, Andrew Wiggins, the 20th overall pick this year, and Haywood Highsmith and Jaime Jaquez Jr.? Like, Phoenix Suns fans, you want to talk about giving up? That would have been insane. They know that.
Weren't they done with that roster anyway? Like, it didn't go anywhere.
But, Hawk, they're not. Look at the move that they just made. Look, you can argue night and day whether you think Dylan Brooks or Jalen Green are going to help you be competitive, but the Phoenix Suns clearly wanted to remain competitive. And look, they have Devin Booker, they have Bradley Beal, and then they just added Jalen Green, who's a 23-year-old with all-star potential. They got a top-10 pick, and they have Dylan Brooks, who can help any team with his defense and shooting ability. Like, that's a good team. Are they going to win a title? No. But that's still a good team.
Yeah. Good team.
Assets and liabilities. That's what life is based on. Business is based on. I think our assets are not assetting.
No, they are. Bam Adebayo and Tyler Hero are your two best assets. And then you have the B level, which is Khloe Ware and Nikola Jovic, but they're probably a package deal, right? Like, you move both of them, you can be in the conversation. You move one of them, you're on the cusp of the conversation. Bro, the Heat did not want Kevin Durant, man.
You know what they say. First one in sets the market.
Who says that?
Well, I heard you say it, and I don't know. I don't know why. Because the guy was just telling you he's a fan of the show.